Morning, church. Can we all stand as we read God's word? Our passage today is from in Mark. Mark chapter 3, verse 20 to 30. Let's read it all together. Mark 3, 20 to 30 says here, "Then he went home and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, 'He's out of his mind.' And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, 'He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out demons.' And he called them to him and said to them in parables, 'How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, 'He has an unclean spirit.'" You may be seated. Now, guys, I've entitled today's sermon, "The Unforgivable Sin." It's quite a heavy and deep topic, so I will try to deliver this passage to you in the simplest way possible. Because I believe deep theological passages are best delivered in the simplest way. No? And other than that, I also have a very simple mind when it comes to theology. I have a very simple mind when it comes to deep theology. I just let the Word of God interpret itself and understand it as it is. Now, so I won't be accused of plagiarism. I would just like you to take note that most of my sermon notes today are excerpts of Pastor John Piper's teaching. Okay? So let's come before the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning, Lord. Such a beautiful day that you have made for us to worship you, to come before your throne of grace as we are, O God. We humbly ask right now that you fill this place, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, O God, and that you may accomplish, Lord, what your purpose and your will is for us today. We pray humbly, Lord Jesus, that you allow your word, O God, to be delivered with power, clarity, and anointing, Lord. Lord, may you anoint my lips with clay, O God. I pray, Lord, you hide me behind your cross. And Lord, we just ask once again that you move mightily in our midst, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, guys, the sweetest news in all the world for anyone to hear is that God no longer holds your sin against you, meaning you're completely forgiven, completely justified, and completely accepted by God. Totally pardoned, totally forgiven, and totally accepted by God. Now, guys, you couldn't get any better news than that. That would be the best news that you will ever hear in all your existence. Now, while opposite to that, the most terrifying news that you will ever hear in your life is that God will never, ever forgive you of your sins. Meaning you're forever guilty, you're forever cursed, and you are forever an enemy of God. Lost without hope and lost for the rest of eternity. Now guys, nothing can be scarier than that. I don't know about you, but I surely don't want to spend the rest of my eternity in a godless and hopeless place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there is pain and torment and remorse and anger that goes on forever and ever without hope. So guys, nothing can be scarier than God will not forgive you of your sins. Now, we all know that God is a forgiving God. We all know that He is a merciful God. We know that He is a loving God. Yes, we know that God is loving, God is forgiving, God is merciful. Now, guys, while we know all these things, we should also know that there is this one particular sin that one can commit that will never, ever, ever be forgiven by God. And that sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, church, this is such a terrible sin. And this sin can take anyone away from the presence of God for the rest of eternity, damned and lost in hell forever and ever. Now, my preaching today, I have two simple objectives. Number one is that we will try to understand what this sin is. We will try to understand what is this unforgivable sin. And number two, we will we will try to study how one can avoid this sin. And as we study this passage today, it is also wise that we try to examine our hearts, that if any one of us here is at the brink of committing this very dangerous and deadly sin. Two simple objectives. Number one is we try to study what this is. And number two, what we should do in order to avoid this sin. Okay? So now, what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? What is this sin? Now guys, to give you a bird's eye view or a better perspective of what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to teach us here is that we need to go back and understand the mind of the author when he wrote this passage. Again, as a refresher, when Mark wrote this gospel, he was specifically writing to the Jews, to the unbelieving Jews during their time. He wrote this book in order to address the Jews who were doubting the deity and identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The main reason why Mark wrote this gospel is to attest and confirm that Jesus is truly who he claims to be, as the only begotten Son of God and the Savior of the world. That's why in Mark chapter 1, he began his narrative by quoting passages from Isaiah, which speaks about the coming of a Messiah, which was confirmed and validated in the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, Mark, during this time, he was kind of making an argument here. He was trying to prove his point. He was inviting those unbelieving, those doubting Jews to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was like telling them, come on, guys, let's believe Jesus. He's the one who've been waiting for. He's the one that's been prophesied in the Old Testament. He is the one. He's the Son of God. Mark, he was trying to make an argument. He was trying to persuade those unbelieving Jews to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why if you read in the earlier chapters, in Mark chapter 1 to 3, you'll see that Mark highlighted many extraordinary things that Jesus did. Mark said, when Jesus preached, when he taught the word of God, he was unlike any other teachers of the law, because when he taught the word of God, he taught as someone who has authority. Mark was telling them, this guy is extraordinary. When he teaches us the scripture, we teach the word of God, he is someone who has authority. He's like unlike any other those who've come before him. He continues to say highlight the many miracles that the Lord Jesus did. He also highlighted on how the Lord Jesus have authorities over the demons. He also mentioned that when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, heaven broke open and a loud voice was heard saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." In other words, Mark here was trying to persuade the Jews to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, as we begin our passage today, here in verse 20 and 21, it says here, as Jesus returned home, his family is heard saying that this guy is out of his mind. Now guys, can you imagine the unbelief in their heart? Can you imagine that the blindness of their eyes after everything the Lord Jesus Christ has done, in spite of all the many miracles he has done and performed, his own family thinks that Jesus Christ is crazy. Now guys, the problem with this, as they doubted the Lord Jesus Christ, they were actually rejecting the prophecies of Isaiah. They were actually rejecting the prophecies in the Old Testament. Because if you read your Bibles, beginning in Genesis all the way to Malachi, it is filled with prophecies regarding the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, his family was rejecting the Word of God as well. And not only were they rejecting the witness of God's word, they were also rejecting a prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet clearly set by God. John the prophet was there announcing and heralding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was telling everybody to repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And he was pointing people to Jesus. This guy here is whom we've been waiting for. His sandals I am not even worthy to carry. So by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, they rejected the word of God, they rejected the witness of a prophet, and not only that, they rejected God the Father himself. Now remember during the baptism of Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, heaven broke open and a loud voice was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now as the family of Jesus rejected him, they rejected four things, church. They rejected the word of God, the prophecies of Scripture. They rejected the witness of God the Father. They rejected the witness of a prophet. And they rejected the ministries and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now guys, we really don't know what caused their doubt. We really don't know what made them not to follow Jesus. Maybe it was pride in them, no? They were thinking, oh, we saw this guy growing up. We played with him. We played mud together with him. We did all those childish things with him. And all of a sudden, he is the Savior of the world. All of a sudden, he's a Messiah. And guys, more often than not, sometimes it is the pride of life that keeps people from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think that we are too good, that we are in need of a Savior. Sometimes we think that we can navigate our way through life without a Savior. And maybe that was their case. They have that pride of life, thinking that they don't need Jesus. Or maybe there was sin in them. No, they were committing too much sin, and being with the Lord Jesus Christ makes them look bad. Now guys, the Bible is clear that there is no fellowship between light and darkness. Maybe they have very darkened lives and they couldn't just go near into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible never mentioned what caused them to doubt. The Bible never mentioned what caused them not to follow Jesus. But you know what, guys? Praise God. Praise God. Because in spite of their doubts, because of their initial rejection, praise God, because later on in scriptures, we can read in 1 Corinthians 9:4-5 that some of his family members actually surrendered and gave their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And this is the grace of God, church. He always welcomes those who come to him. He always receives those who repent and come to him, and he always receives them with open arms. Praise God for God's grace, no? Now, moving on, this is where it becomes interesting. In verse 22, the Bible tells us, enter the scribes and the Pharisees. The super know-it-all scribes, the ultra-self-righteous Pharisees. And look at what they said. When they went in the scene, they are accusing Jesus as a man possessed by demons. They said in verse 22, he is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out demons. Now, church, the family of the Lord Jesus Christ doubted his claims. But here comes the scribes who were supposed to be experts of the word of God, but instead they went the extra mile of hardening their hearts. They went the extra mile of rejecting the lordship of Jesus Christ when they accused him as being demon-possessed. Now guys, the family of Jesus rejected four witnesses. What were they? They rejected the prophecies of Scripture. They rejected the witness of God the Father. They rejected the ministry and the witness of the Lord Jesus himself. They rejected the witness of a prophet, which was John the Baptist. Now, this time, they were about to enter the realm of unforgiveness. They were about to enter the realm of no return when they rejected the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, they totally twisted the clear and powerful work in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and attributed it to the devil. No? So they've rejected not only the word of God, they rejected not only the ministry of John the Baptist, which is a prophet. They only not rejected the word of God, the prophet. They only not rejected them, but they also rejected the witness of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now guys, some scholars believe that the reason why the scribes and Pharisees accused Jesus as being demon-possessed was because they were trying to accuse Jesus of practicing sorcery. They were trying to tell people that Jesus' power comes from the devil. And sorcery during their time was punishable by death. And we all know that these scribes, these Pharisees, they all wanted Jesus dead, right? Now, in the previous chapters, these Pharisees, these scribes, they tried to find fault in Jesus' teachings, but they just couldn't find any. Jesus taught as someone who has authority. And they were never able to pin Jesus out of his teaching. Then they began to find fault in the way how Jesus did his ministry. They began to find fault on how Jesus conducted his life or how Jesus lived his life. Again, they couldn't find any. So they couldn't pin Jesus down, but yet they wanted Jesus dead. So as an act of desperation, this time they were trying to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of sorcery. So guys, you can just see how much the scribes hated and rejected the lordship of Jesus Christ. They really hated Jesus. They hated his lordship. I mean, they love to be religious. They want to be good. But the irony is that they hated the lordship of Jesus Christ. They wanted to be holy, but the irony is that they hated the holiest of all the holy. So guys, you can see them that
They really rejected his lordship. Now, outside, they appear to be so religious. Outside, they appear to be so good. Outside, they appear to be so holy. But inside, in the inner man, in the heart of hearts, they are full of dead bones. They are full of poisons. They are full of dirt. They are filthy. They're filthy sinners. They're full of sins. Now, guys, this was 2,000 years ago. But the sad reality is that this type of attitude, this type of sin still exists even within the church today. Let me say that again. This was 2,000 years ago. But today, this kind of sin, this kind of attitude still exists even within the church today. And which makes it even more dangerous because it is very subtle. No? Now, there are actually some Christian scribes, or I call them the Christian Pharisees, who's among us in the church today. They fellowship among believers. They do what a Christian is supposed to do by attending services, attending fellowship, attending Bible study. But deep within, in the inner man, in the heart of hearts, they're rejecting the lordship of Jesus Christ. They despise the lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, sure, they want Jesus as their Savior. Who wouldn't, right? Pay the penalties for your sin, takes you out from the fires of hell, gives you a free ticket to heaven. Who doesn't want Jesus as Savior? But in reality, in their inner hearts, they're rejecting his lordship. Now, friends, that doesn't work. Jesus is both Lord and Savior. And as I said earlier, this type of deadly attitude, this type of sin still exists. And it is even more dangerous today because it is very subtle. Now, guys, far be it from us here in Living Word IT Park that there is anyone behaving like this way. Now, friends, let me tell you, if you have any particular sin in your life, any cherished sin in your life that you're refusing to surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ, I don't know what it is. It's between you and the Lord. Maybe it's sexual sin. Maybe you're addicted to pornography. Maybe you're cheating on your wife. You're cheating on your husband. And you're keeping it to yourself. And you're telling the Lord, Lord, leave me alone in this area. This is my life. I want to enjoy this. Now, friends, let me tell you, that is a very dangerous attitude. I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know what your bondage is. Maybe it's money. You're gaining money from illegal gains. Or maybe you're addicted to money, that you love money so much, and you're telling God, God, leave me alone in this area. This is my life. You don't have any lordship in this area. You get the point, church? If there is any particular sin in your life which you treat more preciously than the lordship of Jesus Christ, guys, let me tell you, you might not even be far away from what the scribes or Pharisees were about to commit. I don't know what that is, guys. It's between you and the Lord. It could be immorality. It could be greed. It could be pride. It could be money. It could be sexual sin. I don't know what it is. But the point is, if you treasure these sins more than you treasure the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in great danger. You are in great danger. And the heart of the matter is always the matter of the heart. It is always in the matter of the inner man. Now, these scribes, these Pharisees, they wanted to look good, but they rejected the lordship of Jesus. Even after everything that was already presented to them. Those five witnesses, but yet they still rejected the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, moving on, verses 23 to 26, Jesus easily dismantled their accusation. The Lord Jesus said, how can Satan go against Satan? His kingdom will be divided. His kingdom will fall. Now, verse 23 to 26, this just tells us that the Pharisees' argument, the scribes' accusation were all baseless. And again, napahiya na po mga Pharisees, napahiya na sa mga scribes. And in verse 27, the Lord Jesus continues to assert his authorities over demons. He's telling them that I am stronger, way, way stronger than Satan. So please don't compare me with them. You know what I'm trying to say? The Lord Jesus easily dismantled their arguments. And he continues to assert his authorities over the demons. And here then, in verse 28 and 29, which is the focus of our study, in verse 28 and 29, Jesus then gave one of the greatest promises in all the scriptures. At the same time, he gave one of the sternest warning in all the scripture. Now, verse 28, the Lord Jesus said, truly I say to you,
all sins will be forgiven the children of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter. In verse 29, he said, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Now, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a very beautiful promise. He gave us a very wonderful promise. He said that all types of sin that a man can commit under the sun, meaning all types of sin, you name it, if it's all type, it includes rape, it includes terrorism, it includes child molestation, it includes abortion, murder, you name it. The Lord Jesus said that all these sins can be forgiven as one repents. Every sin, no exception, even he who utters blasphemy, they can be forgiven. And you know what, church? We should rejoice in this promise. Because this verse here is one clear promise coming from straight from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that everything we have done now, everything we have done in the past and the present, they are forgivable. And the Lord Jesus is able to forgive us as we repent. So this is a very beautiful promise. And in verse 29, he gave a very stern warning. He said, all sins can be forgiven. But here in verse 29, he said, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven for the rest of eternity. So church, what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And why is it unforgivable? Now you may want to write this down because this is where the highlight of my sermon is. Now blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is a continuous rejection of the witness and conviction of the Holy Spirit unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is a continuous rejection of the witness and conviction of the Holy Spirit unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, church, the key word there is continuous rejection. Continuous rejection. Now, the Pharisees and scribes during this time have all the witnesses possible that should have brought them into repentance. They have the witness of God's word. They have the witness of a prophet. They have the witness of the Trinity. But in spite of all this, they did not repent and they continued to harden their hearts and rejected the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor Mel put it this way. Every possible means was given to them in order to lead them to repentance. But they continued to harden their heart. Now, guys, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is a continuous rejection unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So why is this sin unforgivable? Why is this sin unforgivable? Now, in the parallel verse in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 to 32, the Lord Jesus said, every blasphemy can be forgiven. Meaning blasphemy against the Father, blasphemy against the Son, blasphemy against the angels, blasphemy against the church. The Lord Jesus said all these blasphemies can be forgiven. But why is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit unforgivable? Why is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit unforgivable? Now, John Piper suggests the idea that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable because of the distinct and unique role of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. Now, you have to understand that in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit's primary role and ministry is to convict us of our sins and lead us into repentance. That's the primary role, that's the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life, to convict us of our sin and lead us into repentance. Now, during the time of Jesus, these scribes, these Pharisees, they were presented with every possible witness that should have brought them to the repentance. But sadly, they continued to harden their hearts. That's why Jesus warned them about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was unique during the time of Jesus. But guys, equivalent to that sin in our time, is still the deadly and sinful attitude behind it all. The continuous and willful rejection of the Holy Spirit's conviction in our life. The continuous and willful rejection of the Holy Spirit's conviction in our life. Again, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into repentance. And if we refuse to heed, if we refuse to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life, who then will lead us into repentance?
Now, what is repentance? What is repentance? Acts chapter 3, verse 19 encapsulates what repentance is. Now, Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore that your sins may be blotted out." In other translation, it says, "Repent therefore so that your sins will be forgiven." Now, church, repentance is a prerequisite for forgiveness. Repentance is a prerequisite that your sins may be blotted out. And repentance is not just about saying sorry to God. Repentance is not just about confessing your sins. Repentance is turning away from your sin and you walk back towards God. You don't remain where you are. You don't remain to enjoy your sin. That's what repentance is all about. Now, guys, because of repentance, this is where the promise of Mark chapter 3, 28 is applied. This is where the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ is applied. He said, all sins can be forgiven. Every sin that a man can commit under the sun can be forgiven as long as one repents. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ's message has always been about that. Repent that your sins may be forgiven. Repent that the king, because the kingdom of God is here. So again, guys, if you genuinely repent of whatever sins you committed, you are guaranteed of Jesus' forgiveness. But opposite of that, if you continue to reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit, who will bring you to repentance? Now, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit puts you beyond repentance. Therefore, it puts you beyond forgiveness. Because one of the Holy Spirit's role is to bring us into repentance. And if you reject the Holy Spirit willfully and continually, who will bring you into repentance? And I couldn't just overemphasize that. Now, guys, how can we avoid this sin? How can we avoid this sin? I mean, how can we avoid blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Now, the answer to that is very simple. The answer is never toy with any type of sin. Never toy with any type of sin. Now, toying with sin is very, very, very dangerous. It can bring you beyond forgiveness. And the sad reality in the church today is that there are too many professing Christians who has a very low view of what sin is. They fail to realize on how serious, how severe, how deadly, how ugly the consequence of sin is. The Lord Jesus Christ said himself, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away, because it is better for you to lose one part of your body than go to hell. He said, if your right arm causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, because it is better for you to enter heaven than, if it's better for you to enter heaven than, sorry. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than suffer in hell. And that's how deadly, that's how filthy, that's how dangerous sin is. The Lord sees it as something very dirty, something very filthy. Now, guys, imagine this. If the Bible tells us that all our good works are like filthy rags before the Lord, can you imagine how our sin is before the Lord? It's dirty, it's ugly. But the sad thing is, there are too many Christians who are comfortably sinning today. Now, parallel to this Quran passage again in Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, and this is just a warning I want to leave with all of you guys. In Matthew 12, 32, the Lord Jesus said, blasphemy in the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. Jesus said, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven in this age and the age to come. Now, you must understand, in Scripture, when it talks about age, there are only two ages. When they say in this age, that means the here and now, the present. And the age to come, that is the eternal state, that is eternity. Now, John Piper said that there are too many people who get this passage wrongly. They think that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit can only be committed after the age to come. He was saying that most people understand it this way. If you reject the Holy Spirit's conviction here, you reject the Holy Spirit's conviction here, you reject the Holy Spirit's conviction here, continue to harden your heart, then you die, then that's the time you committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That is in the age to come. But the Bible is very clear, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven in this present age. So what the Bible or what the Scripture is trying to tell us, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit can be committed by you or by me while we live, while we are still here in this world. I mean to say, you can commit and you can grieve the Holy Spirit to the point that He leaves you while you are still alive. Now, you can actually grieve the Holy Spirit to the point that He withdraws from you forever, even while you are still in this world. So blasphemy against the Holy Spirit can not only be committed in the eternal state, but it can be committed in the here and now. That's why, guys, it's extremely sad that there are too many people who have such a naive view of sin, thinking that God's patience goes on forever and ever. Now, the Bible tells us that God is slow to anger and abounding in love, but it never said that God doesn't get angry. He does, church, He does. I think it was John Piper who said, how terrible it is for a sinner to be in the hand of an angry God, because God's patience will run out someday. God will be angry someday. We think that there is no point where the Holy Spirit will not withdraw from us, where there is always an opportunity to ask forgiveness tomorrow. But guys, this kind of thinking is a lie straight from hell. This is a very wrong thinking, because we never know when the Holy Spirit stops convicting you. We'll never know when the Holy Spirit stops tugging your heart. Therefore, it will put you beyond forgiveness. Now, willful and continuous rejection of the Holy Spirit's conviction belittles the Holy Spirit so grievously that He withdraws from you with His convicting power and leaves you unable to repent. And therefore, that puts you beyond forgiveness. And it can happen in this present age. Now, guys, if you are cherishing sin in you right now, if you're cherishing sin in you right now and you're telling God, God, leave me alone with this sin, you'll never know that the Holy Spirit could leave His convicting power for you, maybe after this service, maybe this afternoon, or maybe tomorrow. And that leaves you unable to repent. So guys, how can we avoid this sin? We should never ever toy around with sin, guys. It is very dangerous. It is very ugly. Now friends, it is just wise to examine your hearts today. Have you totally surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Have you totally surrendered every area of your heart, every area of your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Or maybe you're just like the Pharisees. You are just like the scribes, wanting to be religious, wanting to be good. But yet in the heart of hearts, in your inner man, you're rejecting His Lordship. Now guys, two things. What is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? We tackled that. And secondly, how to avoid that sin. Now guys, we praise God, because as if the Lord is convicting you right now, His promise in Mark 3:28 stands. Whatever sin you've committed, whatever blasphemies you've uttered, they are forgivable as long as you repent. Now guys, the Bible tells us that it is not the will of God for anyone to perish. He desires all of us to be saved. He desires all of us to be victorious from sin. He desires that all of us will be set free to worship Him, to honor Him gladly. Now guys, it is wise that you examine your heart today. Am I living like the Pharisees? Or have I truly surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Now church, in closing, let me say this. I'd like to ask the worship team to come right now. Guys, a genuine believer can never, ever commit this sin. If you're a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore. We still fall every now and then. A genuine believer can never commit this sin. But the key word there, guys, is genuine. Are you a genuine believer? Or there are still many strongholds in your life, there are still many cherished sin in your heart that you're refusing to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's between you and the Lord. But the Lord wants you to be freed from all these things, okay? So in closing, I'd like everyone to bow your heads right now. And I request every eyes closed. The left to the right, all the way to the back. Everyone, no peeping. Just close your eyes as we come before the Lord in prayer. Now, church, this is a very serious thing, no? This is not just another sermon. I believe that the Lord is working in our midst right now.
And I believe with all my heart, if it's the Lord convicting you right now, the Lord wants you to know that yes, it is Him. But He also wants you to know that He's not condemning you. The Bible says, the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus cometh to give you life and have that abundantly. Now, church, if you want to be serious about following the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to be set free from that stronghold once and for all, to be victorious against that sin, whatever it is, we'll be praying for you guys. We pray for a prayer of deliverance, for a prayer of victory, and a prayer of repentance. Just so that we may know that we'll be praying for some of you this morning. At the count of three, I'd just like to request you to raise your right hand. I will not ask you to stand. Just ask you to raise your right hand that we will know we will be praying for someone today. Now guys, if you want to surrender that area in your life right now to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if you want help from the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome that particular sin which you think that you do not have power against, at the count of three, raise up your right hand so that we will pray for you, okay? One, two, three. I see that hand. Praise God. Keep it coming, guys. It's about the Lord. It's about the Lord's going to do something wonderful in your life right now. Okay. Praise God. Okay, just where you are, you may put your hands down right now and just follow this very simple prayer with me. Just follow this very simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I pray, O God, that you set me free from all my sins, Lord. Lord, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I humbly ask right now, Lord, that you cleanse me with your precious blood. I invite you, Lord, to be the Lord over every area of my life. I surrender my all to you. Lord Jesus, give me the strength to overcome all these sins. And I ask for your forgiveness right now, Lord, for the many times I failed you. And today I repent of these sins, Lord. And I pray right now for the power of your Holy Spirit to come fill me, that I will be able to overcome all these sins. And from this day on, Lord Jesus, help me to live a victorious life. Help me to live a life that is purified and a life that's pleasing and honoring to you. This is my prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.